This is the Skirted Roundtable. I'm Linda Merrill from Surroundings.
This is Megan Arquette with Beach Bungalow 8.
And Joni Webb with Cove to Texas.
And this week on the Skirted Roundtable, we are going to be talking about bedrooms, bedroom design, and what we three have done decorating-wise in our bedrooms, and what we like and what we don't like.
And Linda, I think that before we started discussing what the topic was going to be tonight, we were talking about the fact that you have done a ton of bedrooms, and your portfolio online shows that you not only design the bedrooms, but you also create the bedding, which to me is kind of amazing. As I sat there and looked through your portfolio, I couldn't get over that you made some of these things. The patience and the talent is sort of beyond me. Amazing.
Well, I do have to thank my mother for sending me to sewing school at a young age. She didn't let me learn on her own machine, but definitely knowing how to sew is helpful. And I don't do it for everybody, but it's usually the decorative pillows that, you know, I make out of the leftovers of other things that have happened in the room. And then I just say, well, hand me a pile of fabric and I'll make some pillows out of it. And I can't really say how they're going to come, what they're going to look like when I start.
And that's kind of do you think that's why you tend to do a lot more pillows and accessories and sort of have like a wardrobe almost for the bed? I tend to do a hodgepodge.
Yeah, I like a lot of stuff on a bed. You can throw it on the floor. Pillows don't get hurt. They don't need, they can be precious, but they can be chucked on the floor, which is what I like.
Do you find men who are your clients, do you have any problems with that? Because I know that is one thing a husband will say, I just don't want flowers in my bedroom and I don't want a million pillows.
Or pink.
I have had the whole gamut. I've had people who say, it can't have a lot of pillows. And then I did a TV show that was no longer doing here in Boston, but it was kind of redoing someone's room on a budget sort of thing, and you had the big reveal. But I had asked the husband, because we were doing it on a budget, I wanted to be able to make a lot myself, what do you think about pillows? Because I just think they're such a big impact. And he was like, oh yeah, it's all fine with me. So he was totally open for it, and we put a lot of pretty stuff on their bed. But I've certainly had other people who not useful to them. And it seems too precious, and I think they're afraid, they suddenly feel like they have to be formal in a place you're not supposed to have to be formal, which, I would agree with.
Do you feel like you have, and this isn't a bad thing, this isn't a pejorative thing to have a formula, but do you think you have a formula for how you go about dressing a bed, the kind of bed you actually prefer, or does every room sort of call for its own?
I kind of do.
I think I kind of do too. That's what I was wondering. I mean,
I kind of always do an unmade bed with the duvet on the end and, the pillows and the sheets folded back. Yeah, I kind of always do that.
What do you mean by unmade bed? Do you mean like the bed quilt, like the mat lassé?
Yeah, like the sheets are folded down and, the duvet is just on the edge of the bed.
That's what I always do.
I like a real bedspread because I'm a terrible bed maker, and I actually never really get involved in the sheets for clients, and I don't make my own bed a lot. So I like a bed that you can throw the bedspread up and straighten it out and throw the pillows on top and it looks like a fancy made bed. I don't want to have to deal with the fold back of the sheets and
it's funny I said that because my own bed has a bedspread on it at home. I don't have a duvet, so I'm like you, Linda. Yeah. At home, I have a bedspread.
I like the big puffy duvet at the end of the bed. That's what I have on mine, but I also have the bedspread. So I kind of do both because I like the look, but I like the cover-up effect of a bedspread.
I like the cover. What's funny? Nick's always yelling at me because he's like, God, it's so hot. Why do we have so many covers? And I need the heaviness when I sleep. I need the weight.
Yeah, me too.
I like it. And so, I always do one of those, a French coverlet, and then I do the duvet, covered duvet rolled up at the end of the bed. And I like Eurosham. Someone was kind of laughing at me the other day, but I'm a monogram girl. I think it's just my upbringing.
About monograms, the most gorgeous company that does monogramming is and sheets is Leotine bedding from New Orleans. They do the used custom monograms. They're just gorgeous. Their sheets are to die for.
What's the name
of
it?
The line.
How do you spell it?
Leo Time, like Leon Time.
L-E-O-N-T-I-N-E. They are the ultimate to me.
Yeah. I mean, if I have not ever been able to use them yet, but I would love to. And they're in all the magazines. But I think I kind of use a formula when I design a bedroom. I love in a bedroom to use a two-toned carpet, like white with a dot of the second color in it, or the main color with a white dot or a trellis, a flat weave.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, I like to use a wallpaper on the walls, which I think is less expensive than doing a faux treatment. I mean, I like to do something, you know, I think it just cozies up the bedroom when it's wallpapered. And, because bedrooms are so big today, and, you know, you just want to kind of bring them closer together. So
yeah.
I think like a wallpaper helps doing that. I love upholstered headboards. I find them very easy to do, and I've always had a hard time finding headboards, so I always tend to use an upholstered, because, you know, you can design the shape and...
Right. And upholstered headboards aren't that crazy expensive.
No.
I mean, you can get a decent one...
Under
$1,000, or, you know, between $1,000 and $1,500, and then put the Harvard frame on it, and, you know, do your bedding around the frame, and you have an incredibly luxurious bed for less than you're paying at an Ethan Allen or one of those places.
And like Joni said, you can create such a great silhouette. I have seen so many really beautiful scalloped and just really beautifully shaped headboards with the nail head trim, or, you know, all the different fabrics that are available. I made it a fashion, I'm sure I've done many of those too, but interior design faux pas for myself. I'm glad I did it on myself, though, I will say this, and I learned from it. I have a room, my personal bedroom has a vaulted ceiling. It came with the house, wouldn't have chosen it. So I really thought, oh, so what I'll do is I'll have this headboard made, and I'll make it sort of oversized, because, the room can handle it, was my thinking. And what I found that it was all wrong, because I think that actually with the super high vaulted ceilings, it didn't work.
It accentuated it.
It accentuated. Yeah. It was massive, and it is massive, and I need to get rid of it because I'm moving on to another one that I found and fell in love with. It was a lesson learned, and just because the room has soaring ceilings does not mean that you need to make this massive headboard, you know, to go with it. I think it actually would have been much better had I brought it down so that it wasn't, you know, actually maybe even a low, long one. It's a California King. So that was something I learned. And like I said, luckily it was on my own dollar.
But I will say this, though. Headboards have gotten a lot taller. It used to be a headboard just would come to the pillow. If you're doing an upholstered headboard, be sure that the top part is at least 3 feet above the pillow standing up, you know, and just the top part. Not the higher the better, but I like to make them about 55 inches, 60 inches off the floor in the middle.
Well,
that's not like one big rectangular silhouette, though. I think, you know, you have to make if you are going to do that you have to have varying heights, because otherwise what you end up with is just this big, massive
wall
color square. Yeah.
Yeah, and another tip if you're thinking about doing an upholstered headboard is the flatter the better now. It used to be we would do very padded upholstered headboards, and then you'd have the trim which would be sheared, and now the flatter you can do your upholstered headboard, the more modern or up-to-date it looks.
Yeah.
And of course, nail heads, you know, try to add nail heads.
I wouldn't totally agree with that, but I agree that the sheared stuff is definitely out, but I love a tufted headboard. A deep, rich, tufted headboard, I think, is just a classic.
I'm not talking about a tufted. I mean, if you aren't doing a tufted. If you're doing a tufted, tuft it to the depth, you know? I mean, tufting should be as deep and as dramatic as you can get it. I agree with Joni, it's like a flat upholster.
The depth of it, like if you were to stand from the side of it, you don't want it to be really thick. Otherwise, you get this complete 80s look.
Yeah, no, 3 inches.
Only if it's flat.
Three or 4 inches is usually actually a good depth I think, for a headboard.
And you I personally gotta say, I think the thinner than that almost.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, your wood, you have to think about what the wood is. So yeah. You've got the wood board sides. I mean, you've got a 1x3. So,
well, I'm talking more about the batting. You know, the upholsterers would put a lot of batting and
pillowy,
exactly.
Yeah.
And that's out. So don't, you don't want that. You want it more flat, unless, like Linda said, it's tufted and then tufted it to its death. I mean, you want a beautiful, luxurious, people tend to make upholstered headboards themselves and they come out great, but don't attempt tufting. Tufting should be left to the professional.
Oh, yeah. It's impossible to do tufting on your own and do it well. Because tufting, real tufting is pieced. It's not, you know, take a big hunk of fabric and then sew a button through it. You know, there's a real piecing to the tuft.
Yeah, it's a very professional thing. So don't attempt to do that. But you can make an upholstery, you know, like a rectangular yourself.
Yeah, and mount it to the wall.
Yeah.
Or put legs on it and, you know, make it really sturdy. If you put legs on it, then it can be bolted into your Harvard frame, so you have this really sturdy, really sturdy piece. I tend, with bedrooms, although I, you know, don't like the matchy-matchy look anywhere else, I really do tend to like matchy-matchy in the bedroom as far as furniture is concerned. I think it's just, you know, it lends itself to the soothing quality that I personally like in a bedroom. It's like the one place that I think a matched furniture set is acceptable.
Especially
so
nightstand.
Do you do the side table? You do think the nightstands? I don't agree to that. There's where we all differ, because I don't like the matching nightstands.
Yeah, so. I do. Unless one is a desk, like an antique desk, and then the other side is a skirted table. But I usually I'm like Linda there. I won't add the dresser, but I will go for two. Lately, I like to use chests. I've used that in the last couple of bedrooms. Instead of a nightstand, go for a bigger, taller chest. And that kind of matches the height of a higher headboard, the upholstered headboard, when your chest comes up higher than your bed, and then you get, you know, tall lamps. And I just love doing that.
Well, I think it's one of the issues is that, as you're saying, headboards are higher. I think standard they used to be 54 inches, and now they're upwards of 63. It's sort of a standard headboard, because the mattresses are a million times thicker. So if you're dealing with antiques, an antique bed or antique side tables, you actually do have to think about the scale, because if you add, it used to be the mattress and box spring were
like 12 inches.
12 inches combined, and now they're 18 to 20 inches combined. So, you know, you have to take the scale into account.
How do you all feel about canopies?
I love canopies.
I do too.
Yeah, I do too.
I love it.
I've never done one. I mean, except for my own childhood bed. But
especially if you live in a Mac mansion or you've got one of these oversized bedrooms, the best thing, I think the only thing you can do is to do a canopy bed. And it kind of makes a room within a room, and it cozies it up. Then you can put a little settee in front of it, a couch and two chairs, and, you know, just to fill the room up. These bedrooms, when I go on the real estate website and I look at home after home after home, they're all so empty looking, because they have a little bed in the middle, you know, and a dresser and two end tables. You know, you need furniture to fill up these rooms. And a canopy,
I love that Italian campaign bed that I know.
Oh yeah, that's just beautiful.
You remember
I'm buying that for Elizabeth. We're redoing her room from Anthropologie.
Yeah. Anthropologie is a really good one.
Yeah.
I'll find
Are you?
That's a winner.
Yeah, I love that bed so much. And she wants to redo her room, and I just bought her the chaise lounge from Wisteria. It's on sale. And so I'm gonna try to do it real French. We're really excited.
You know, the one that I found that I'm using is from this awesome website called Jardin en Fleur, which has this, it's called the Kowloon Soulier Queen Bed. Queen Bed, I'm looking at the
right. What is the website?
Jardins. And then the second word is E-N, on. And then Fleur, F-L-E-U-R. Oh, the website is adorable. First of all, has all these cherry blossoms falling with a pagoda. It's the cutest thing you've ever seen.
Oh my God.
Do you love that one? His furniture is so, if you love chinoiserie pagoda style furniture, this is the spot. But yeah, the bed on there is this Soyer bed that has sort of bamboo, and it's gorgeous. And that's what I'm going to get, I think, this time.
Are you?
Yeah, because I bungled up my headboard. Isn't it pretty?
Oh,
yeah, I love
that.
It.
Yeah.
Who do you guys have favorite designers who bedrooms that you tend to?
I do. I think Charlotte Moss makes the most gorgeous bedrooms, designs the most gorgeous bedrooms. She always uses a French bed. She always uses a canopy. You know, she makes a room within a room in her bedroom. They're just stunning. They're just so feminine. And, you know, she tends to, her theory of a bedroom is it should be very feminine, and the woman should invite the man into her bedroom. And that's the one place that can be, you know, ultra feminine, because the man is the guest in the woman's bedroom.
It's so Southern. I love it. Dan Marty, who has one of my favorite showrooms at the...
I know. I love him.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. So he has just this amazing showroom at the Pacific Design Center. And in it, he has a few bedrooms that are beautiful. And they're masculine. They're really beautiful.
Besides upholstered headboard, another idea to do if you're going to do something on your own is to do a screen. And you can do, like, or frame a piece of fabric and use it behind your bed, you know, oversized. Or you can do three frames and connect
like a triptych.
Them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and connect them with hinges and make, you know, a faux screen and put that behind your bed. I think that's a great look. Or you can just drape a piece of fabric behind and get some kind of a crown and just drape the fabric through the crown and... or, you know, something on top and mount it to the wall and just have the fabric draped behind the bed if you can't, you know, find a headboard or you don't want one or you can't afford one right now.
Urban Outfitter is a really good resource for inexpensive, like $200, $250
velvet.
Headboards.
Yeah.
Velvet. They're beautiful.
Yeah.
I had one in my storage that was like a apple green. It's so pretty. And then there was another one that you could get on that site that was a blue, like a really pretty clear blue.
Well, now they come in all different colors, and you know, that is a great source. And they also have a real cute little, in fact, I did a teenager's bedroom and we got the bench. It's a, you know, like a fainting bench for a couple hundred dollars, and
at Urban,
at Urban Outfitters, and it made her whole bedroom. You know, it was kind of a lavender color,
funny.
Velvet. Yeah, it was really cute for a teenager. But you could put it at the end of the bed, and yeah, Urban Outfitters is a great place if you're, you know, really budget conscious for a headboard.
Do you guys have colors? Do you tend to in bedrooms go towards muted colors versus brighter colors versus whites? Do you have any preferences in that regard?
I don't have preferences. I don't go toward one. I think that if something in the room dictates it for me generally, but I don't have one color palette that I go to.
Yeah, I mean, it's driven by the client, of course, but I usually do muted colors in the bedroom, I think. You know, softer colors. Mm-hmm. I don't ever use bright colors usually. I just don't.
I don't in the bedroom. I tend to use the muted, softer colors. It's one of the few places I'll use lavenders or any of those purple range soft colors, peaches. I think it's, you know, it's good to flatter the skin. So a nice, pretty peach, going back to the Charlotte Moss, invite the man in while you want to look good while you're in there. Soft, muted peaches and pinks, and those things are very flattering to almost any woman's skin, any skin tone.
And you're generally spending the most time in there in the evening with low lighting, you know, so that you take that into consideration.
I think one tip that I'd like to share with the listeners is I did a bedroom, and it's on my website, and it was considered a budget bedroom. But if you want to get a bedroom that's very decorated looking, but you know, you need to keep it within, you know, budget conscious, is if you order like the upholstered headboard from Pottery Barn, and it comes, you know, with a slip cover. And then you can buy fabric by the yard that matches the slip cover. So you can make drapes with it. And, you know, that really gives the bedroom a real finished look if the drapes match. So a lot of people don't realize that you can buy fabric by the yard from Pottery Barn, and it's pretty reasonable.
And the one thing I would say about to people about bedrooms is, you know, don't use your bedroom as the wasteland of leftover furniture.
Oh, right.
You know, that tends to be, it's just like, oh, it's just the bedroom, we'll put all the extra stuff, or grandma's leftover bedroom set. And unless that grandma's leftover bedroom set was a beautiful bedroom set that you love and it's a nice antique, you know, when you can, start replacing that, because nothing is worse than just this old dated thing. It just sets you off for just not...
That just reminded me of something. You know, I went into someone's home and they sort of laughed, and they had a high schoolish child, so they had been married a while and were old enough. They kind of laughed, embarrassing. I said, this is my husband's furniture from when he was a kid, and we are so... And it wasn't anything of any value. He said, yeah, I think my parents got it like pennies or something. So the point is that it was a small room, so I really felt, just get rid of that. You don't even need that in there. Just it was a windowless, very small room in a lower level. And I felt like if he had gotten rid of that, had brought in some beautiful bedding that wouldn't have had to be expensive, a little from here, a little from there, could have made the room so much more interesting. And I'm one that likes the mixed up different side tables. And so I even felt he could go out and find something like that. And it wouldn't cost that much.
This has been the Skirted Roundtable with Megan Arquette from Beach Bungalow 8, Joni Webb from Coat to Texas, and I'm Linda Merrill from Surroundings. You can visit us online at www.skirtedroundtable.blogspot.com, or you can download our podcast from iTunes. Search for the Skirted Roundtable. We always appreciate your comments and suggestions. Thank you for joining us, and we will be back soon.